It was a deal where you were laid back and comfortable. Didn't matter who was on you. Were locked in.
Yeah, I was just locked in, man. I just remember. I don't know. I think the backdrop, like, because we played in a ballroom.
Yep, I was there. I remember.
I don't know. I think
weird.
Just and I think I adapted real well to it.
Oh, clearly.
I mean, man, I think that had something to do with it.
Was that the most on you ever were? Like, that game, I think, I saw your bio, I think it's still the second highest individual, you know, point total for a Gopher, for a Minnesota player.
Yeah, yeah.
But didn't you had some games in high school where you, like, did 46s, right? Was that the was it most on you? What was the most on you ever felt? Was it there? Was it that Finley Prep game, 46?
Ooh, that's tough. I'm trying to think. I mean, Finley was so long ago.
You are an old man. You're getting up there.
I know. I'm getting up there. 27 now. I got to go back in the
act like he's 30-something. Yeah.
I say the Memphis game because I remember at the free throw line, like, my ball, like, the ball wasn't even touching the net barely. I think that's the most on I felt. But
12 of 16 from the field.
He was on fire.
I mean,
they tried everybody on him.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Dre, did Joe say anything, like, while it was happening? Because he was kind of in his own thing. I remember him hitting the bench, you know, sitting him down. He wasn't happy about that. But did he say anything to you that day? Or, I mean, because y'all were tight.
We didn't. It wasn't. We actually, Farrakhan and Joe, spoke after the game for a little bit. But, I mean, it was just
what can you say? You know what I'm saying?
It, like, I was just kind of, because I don't think the chemistry between the team was at its best.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously with Joe sitting on the bench, you know, I kind of had questions about that. Because, I honestly really didn't play against Joe much that game. I think he probably – I don't even know if he played the entire half, so,
I mean, obviously,
I remember that. It was tense at that point.
If you don't want to answer, Andre, then don't feel like you have to. But, like, sometimes it is best for certain kids to get out of Memphis, right, and to be in other settings. Do you ever find yourself thinking about it, like, if it would have been different for Joe at a different school?
It's hard to see, I mean, obviously, I would, if Penny was, no offense to George Passing, but if Penny was there, I probably would have stayed home as well, you know. I mean, Memphis is, the culturally and just historically, I mean, we're a basketball city. And, I mean, just going back from John Wall, remembering us, just Joe, Chris Jones, Adonis, myself, him just remember us, that's a statement within itself. So, I mean, obviously, staying home is awesome. But personally, I thought he was going to go to Kansas. And I thought he was going to rip Kansas up for a year or two and then come back and play for the Grizzlies. But, I mean, it's just a lot of things can happen. Coach changes. I mean, it's a lot of things that happens in college athletics that,
no doubt,
it's not in the control of the athlete. So, it's just... And that doesn't matter wherever you go. That can happen wherever. So,
how about you at 27? How's the body? You've been a pro for a long time. Been doing it overseas. You've been everywhere: Belgium, France, Germany, Hungary. How's the body? How you holding up through this pandemic?
This time has really gotten me thinking about the next moves and trying to see what avenues I want to take and what I want to pursue. But, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing so far to be able to play around the world. If you'd have told me at 17, 16, 17, that I'd play all
see
over
the world.
Europe, the world, I would have looked at you sideways. But
hey, Andre, man, this was it was great to catch
up. It's a pleasure,
up.
Man.
Appreciate
Thank
your time.
Thank you for this.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Keep us posted, man.
All right, for sure, sure.
He is Andre Holland.
Now, it's Anthony Sane from Sports Illustrated's All Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Anthony Sane, what's the word?
Man, my boy, you already know what it is. You good, man?
Yeah, everything is good over here, getting through it as always. So, are we closer to an NBA return today, Anthony Sane? What do you think?
Bro, every day we live is a day closer to an NBA return. That's been my philosophy since day one.
Do you think, and I think we might be on the same page here, but do you believe that the NBA already knows where it's going to be, knows what they're going to do, knows what the postseason is going to look like, and they're simply just waiting on the right time to announce it? Like, what do you believe?
Exactly. I think they've already got their plan in place. I think that the players are aware of what the plan is as well. I think that they already have everything set, and they're just waiting to announce it and we're waiting to set out the framework for it. More so, like we talked about, from a PR standpoint, as far as not wanting to drop it on people at the wrong time. But as areas start to open up, I know the restaurants in Memphis are opening back up for people to dine in and things like that, and people are starting to go back to work. I think as those things start to happen, you'll start hearing more towards the NBA aggressively moving towards starting the season back. So
one of the things that you know, Adam Silver, at least through various reports, has you know gotten hung up on is the availability of testing. We're testing more in America now than we ever have. You know, we're routinely testing over 250,000 people a day. That's not enough, but it's certainly better than where it was 2-3 weeks ago. And what he's gotten hung up on, Adam Silver, we're talking about, is he doesn't want to hoard tests because, you know, he doesn't sort of want that PR hit. But at some point, I mean, for you know, a return of that season, I mean, they're going to have to absorb that, right? I mean, they're going to have to make a decision. Do we want to, you know, potentially take that hit or not? Because if you don't, then there's just no path to returning, right?
Yeah, he's either going to have to do it or just lie about it. Actually, that really tests the players, which I'm sure he's not going to go that route. So if he wants it to come back, he's going to have to take whatever hit comes with it. But I think in the end, people will be if people know that the players are getting tested, they won't like the guys are being guinea pigs or being lambs led out to the slaughter or whatever. So I'm sure that people will want them to be ultimately safe, that they're going to be, you know, entertaining us or whatever. But like I said, that's just part of it, man. If he's going to do it, I think he knows what comes with it. And I think that's why he's been so precautious about the way that he's going about doing that.
I'm curious, saying just your confidence level right now and what we're going through. I told a story to start off the show where my wife is not letting me, even though barbers right now you can go to them, she's not letting me take my son there. I guess she's leaving it on me if I want to go, still go myself, but she's not giving me a choice on my son. What about you? You comfortable enough? You got little Gabe. You comfortable enough having him go to a barber shop today or no? Or are you still in wait mode?
I talked to you about this off the air, I think, but you know, with as far as Gabe with co-parenting with his mom, like our whole co-parenting thing has had to be adjusted. You know, like Gabe hasn't spent the night with me since any of this has happened. I've seen him. I've spent time with him, but he hasn't spent the night with me at all since all this has happened. So I'm precautious with him. He wears a mask when he's out with me. I wear a mask when I'm out or whatever. But, you know, it's just as far as the barbershop is concerned, yeah, we finna get in the chair, bro.
I'm just trying to tell John it's time. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But see, the thing with my barbershop, he's a pretty private barber. Like, he isn't like a walk-in.
I'm the same way, I think.
And the way he's doing it, because even he's always kind of been like this. He's always been super clean anyway. But the way he's doing it is if you book an appointment, he's booking it where no one comes in while you're there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you, him, and that's it. And then he won't book an appointment where anyone's in the shop with you. That's how he was doing it when this stuff first happened. So, I would feel safe taking my son to the barbershop, definitely.
I'm in a similar boat where it's just one in the chair. So that's what I was trying to explain to my wife.
Yeah,
she didn't care, though.
Man, so.
Yeah, right. Supercuts where it's wide open, right? There's more folks. Well, one of the things we've been doing through all this is watching The Last Dance, and it seems like you've been one of the last ones to the party, but you are at the party now. Have you caught up? Are you all the way caught up? Are you still like on episode two?
Man, it's effing incredible, bro. I'm all six episodes in. It's great, bro. Like, I talked a lot of noise. Like, man, I saw all this stuff. I was there when it happened. But even the stuff that I thought I remembered, like, I don't remember that stuff. Like,
yep.
I don't remember Scottie Pippen sitting out this season. I don't remember him. I don't remember the stuff. I remember hearing something about this might be the Bulls' last run. But as a teenager, I never understood why. Like, and now that I work in media and I know how that stuff works, just seeing how Jerry Krause had built two championship teams, and he was trying desperately to break both of those teams up.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.